Coming up on show 982, Ford's future EVs will run on Google's Android like Polestar and Volvo do. Also on the podcast today, VW CEO sees a bright future for the rest of this year, why Tesla is being forced to recall almost 150,000 cars, and we take a look at the new interior of a car coming before the end of this year with good performance and long range. But which one is it? We'll find out. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll kick off with that headline story today, then. Ford and Google announced their partnership and signing a deal for Ford to install Google's Android operating system on all their new EVs starting in 2023, giving passengers access to a more personal experience and unlocking new lines of business, says Axios. Well, Ford's decision, part of a broader technology partnership of the two sets of engineers working together, acknowledges that maybe car makers need to look to Silicon Valley to help them adapt to the seismic changes happening not only in the transportation industry, but what people expect from their technology and their lives and how connected it has to be. Well, Android's automotive OS is an embedded version of Android. So let me explain. You may have heard of Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. That's where your phone, either wirelessly or through a plug in the car, will plug into your car, and it often mimics the display or a cut down display version on your phone, and it brings it up on the display in the car. And that's useful for getting to apps, and it's not a bad halfway house, but Android Automotive is actually the whole operating system for the whole car. And if you've seen those reviews online, those YouTube videos of the Polestar 2, of the Volvo XC40 Recharge, it's going down really well with people because, well, a couple of reasons. Firstly, Android is, you know, the team there are dedicated to making software work, and arguably they know how software works better than Ford. So it's one way of doing it. Now, all these big car makers have their own software divisions or have partnerships where they're buying in the software for their cars from tier one suppliers and from people that are, you know, very good at doing this. But I hope I'm not being unfair by saying software in cars sucks. I mean, it does, doesn't it, compared to our phones and our tablets. So this, in my opinion, is a very good piece of news. The infotainment system in Ford and Lincoln vehicles will be built on Android. Millions of those cars will have Android Automotive, and they will then have Maps and Google Assistant and those other things that come with an operating system that runs phones and tablets, says Future Car. Now, Android's OS has over-the-air updates because, you know, our phones and tablets are constantly being updated, and so do your cars. That means Fords and Lincolns will always have the latest software installed over the air, whether your car is parked outside your house on the Wi-Fi, or whether it's connected over the SIM card inside it. Google Maps is one of the most used apps from the company, and it includes great voice-guided, turn-by-turn directions, real-time traffic information sourced from everybody else using Google Maps, rerouting, lane guidance. I always use it. I used to use Waze, but just the UI got to me. I didn't like the cartoonishness of it. After a while, it's all the same, isn't it? Google own it, don't they? Own Waze. And so I just use Google Maps, and it's brilliant. So, of course, that becomes the default nav system inside the car. We've seen it in Polestar 2, seen it in XC40. And one of the reasons I'm so excited about this is because we're doing more and more with our voice in our lives. Like, I have friends that have got all the Google devices, and they say it's brilliant. Now, I've mentioned before that we have gone for the Amazon devices everywhere. I think every room in the house has got one. Some have screens that we use to bring up everything from, you can watch Netflix on them, or the baby camera. Some of them just have the music players, just the sound version that we have, the kitchen and stuff. You can tell it to remember things for your shopping list, get it to tell you the weather, what's in your schedule. We use it quite a lot. Of course, there are security and privacy concerns about all of these things. Again, I gather the Google version is just as good, better in places as the Amazon stuff. And so it makes sense in cars. You want your hands on the wheel. And if you are able to talk to your car, ask it to play your favorite driving playlist, to text your partner that you're 5 minutes away from home, stick the kettle on, make a cup of tea, or just do things with the voice side of Google. And of course, it locks people into ecosystems, which is a very important thing, as you know, then it's a great thing. Now, I'm permanently locked into the Apple ecosystem, I think, because I was Android, but now I'm Apple, and I've got the phone, the watch, the tablet. I've bought all the apps over the years. The idea of changing would be expensive. And, you know, certainly when I left Android years ago, it wasn't up to much, didn't look great. The App Store was full of just pretty rubbish apps, and they didn't seem to curate it as well. It was, you know, there was lots of apps, but they all seemed pretty terrible. And I moved to Apple, and I was like, okay, this is clean, this is neat, it's fine, you know, I'll just go with it. So, you know, I didn't need access to things like file systems and stuff at the time, which is, you know, geeky, nerdy stuff. So, this is brilliant news. Well done, Ford. Just top stuff. That's so, so cool. We like that piece of news. Maybe we'll see Apple doing their own thing. Got some news coming maybe tomorrow on the podcast about that. And I'm just putting a story together about Apple's EV plans. Let's move on. Let's talk about VW's CEO telling managers on a webinar, on a call that Bloomberg have seen, that it's going to be a brilliant second half of the year, despite COVID continuing, despite the shortages of semiconductors. Herbert Diess sees a very bright future for EVs. Europe's largest automaker actually lost out to the top spot of being the world's biggest car maker by a smidge at the end of 2020 to Toyota. But VW did sell more electric cars last year than, for instance, Tesla. In Europe, they're accelerating a big push into pure battery electric vehicles. They're rolling out the ID4 now across this year around the world. More versions of the Audi e-tron are coming, the Porsche Taycan as well. And those are two brands, Audi and Porsche, that make up a big chunk of the profits for VW Group. Now, VW expects to sell 600,000 pure EVs this year. And that is them just starting. And the best thing is they're all profitable. Everything that I've read about their move into EVs with the ID platform was them saying, we wanted to get there sooner, we know we're a little bit late, but we have this platform that you can, you know, that they're licensing to Ford here in Europe, that they're licensing to others, that you can stick pretty much anything on top of, any body on top of, and it's all based on a set of components, that the starting blocks. That means that everyone we sell from day one is profitable, which is brilliant. Such good news, because it, you know, we want them to make money and we want them to make more EVs. I know some people, I'm still sore about Dieselgate because I was caught up in it and I haven't forgiven VW for that. And it's why I'm not spending my money with VW, but I want to give them praise where it's due for moving into EVs. Okay, let's move on. Saw this article on Yahoo Finance that said gasoline is becoming worthless. So, of course, I'm going to have a look at this. And, a gallon of gas in the US is still a couple of bucks. If you're listening in California, you're saying it's a bit more than that. But gas-powered cars are definitely on the way out in terms of investment and investors, institutional investors. According to Yahoo Finance, new research from Morgan Stanley argues that combustion engines, the mainstay of the industry for over 100 years, are destined to become money losers, liabilities, if companies wed themselves to combustion. Morgan Stanley's analysis suggested that market forces will drive the move away from carbon and to electric, just as much as government policy. I'm always saying this, and I'm not taking credit or humble bragging, because like, these are financial experts. I know nothing about finances, but I always say follow the money. Just follow the money. And if somebody can make money making EVs, if they can make money selling clean, green electric cars, money's going to follow that. So the investing firm surveyed institutional investors, the likes of GM and Ford, and they said to their investors, how do you view combustion? Now, 17% said that companies investing in combustion engines either had no value or actually a negative value. 60%, so, you know, it is more than half. It's a fair old chunk of the survey, said that combustion engines viewed them as slightly positive still. But the rest, viewed it as positive, but still, you know, so many of these investors saying that the growth in powertrain technology is going to be in electric, and that they see a time when ICE powertrains are not only in decline because they are now, but also they become massive liabilities on the books. Investors viewing combustion technology as a dying technology, not worthy of new investment. And that is interesting, because like I say, follow the money. This isn't a financial podcast, but yes, you'll have seen Tesla's share price through the roof, continues to go up. If you've made money doing that, well done you. You should feel smug. Hopefully you've ridden that wave and not lost any money. There are other companies, charging companies particular, that are listing through these SPAC deals. There's a ton of money coming into electrification. Not everybody can be a winner. But for now, if I was the kind of person that recommended single stocks, or we don't do financial stuff over here, but there is certainly places to make money in EVs right now. As I've said a long time ago and many times, I never recommend investing certainly in single stocks, because what goes up can come down, and people do invest with their nest eggs and their kids' college funds and things, and all of a sudden that can become nothing overnight. So I'm very risk averse. But equally, I've not made my millions by investing in Tesla. Let's continue. Tesla is recalling 135,000 of their S and X cars. Oh, it's finally here then. It was long rumoured, wasn't it? The recall was going to happen. Tesla fought it for as long as they could. They were like, no, it's fine. The memory chips in the cars, they're okay. When they fail, we'll replace them. And, because it's time for a hardware update anyway on these old cars. They've been pushing back on a recall, but now they have to do it. According to CNN, the recall applies to 2012 to 2018 S's and 16s to 2018 X's. Under the recall, it begins in March. It's been instigated by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, so you can't argue with the feds. Tesla must now notify owners of those cars with the touchscreens that fail and replace the memory card inside. It just gets so many read-write cycles, they just get worn down. It wasn't really fit for purpose. It was a bit of a cock-up. They couldn't, see into the future. They were operating at breakneck speed. If I was defending Tesla and saying, hey, they got that one thing wrong, they've made it right in so many cases. In a lot of cases, because there's now new hardware on the infotainment system, so often people will go in with the broken screen, and they'll be like, well, yeah, we could put the new memory chip in, or we can upgrade the whole hardware system in your computer so that the maps are more snappy, the whole thing's more whizzy. I'm sure they don't call it snappy and whizzy. You know what I mean? And so people have gone for that. Now, until recently, Tesla have also been charging you for the privilege of doing that because you've been getting better stuff. Whereas this now it's an official recall. They will have to do it for free, but they'll have to make it good for free. They won't have to upgrade your hardware. So, NHTSA say, we note that your report, Tesla, states that you believe this matter does not have a safety risk. In our view, that statement has no force or effect in terms of the obligation to undertake and complete the recall. We do not agree with it. So, Tesla say, wriggling, trying to get out of this one, say, look, it's not safety. Look, the car doesn't shut down. NHTSA saying, look, the car, when the screen goes off, you can't see the rear reversing camera, you can't defog, you can't defrost the screen, you can't do those things. It is a safety thing. Sort it out, Tesla. So they are having to, and I wonder what people will opt to do, whether they'll opt to just have the new, just make it good, put a new memory card in and make it work again, or Tesla are saying, we will upgrade the hardware at a discounted price. And I wonder as well, people recently that have had the screen break and gone, oh, okay, I'll pay to have it fixed, could have had it done for free. Well, how they feel about it. If you're caught up in that situation, I'd love to know your thoughts, because I can see it from all angles. Then let me know. My address, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Our question of the week this week, which you can email to the same address, is all about that. There's a social media meme that goes around saying how it started, how it's going. People post two pictures of back in the day and then the current situation. So how it started, how it's going. Tell me your EV version, your EV journey of that. So for me, like how it started would probably be, I'm getting caught up in Dieselgate probably, and me thinking, well, this sucks, I've been lied to. How it's going on my second EV, little podcast that a couple of people listen to. That's my how's it started, how's it going. You email me yours, hello@evnewsdaily.com is my email address. Okay, let's continue. Let's talk about a brand new car that's, as you know, before I do, I'll quickly mention, I've just talked about Tesla's screens. There were some photos flying around today, but I don't know if they are genuine, so I don't want to give them too much time. It's from somebody who posts a lot of stuff on Twitter, and he's always posting Twitter stuff or like just finding random stuff online and then reposting it rather than... I like a retweet because you know the source of the information, or at least if you're going to rip someone's photo off, you know, right-click and save it on your device or whatever and then repost it as if it's yours, at least credit the source. But this person... I had to unfollow them because they were like, hey, I've got this photo of this. And I'm like, that's not the way to behave. If you are, you know, on social media, always put your source. If you want to be taken seriously, like put, I got these photos from this website, or I found these photos on this Twitter feed. But this person doesn't do that. So I thought, well, I don't want to see what you're posting. They have said they've got anonymous sources within Tesla. They've posted some pictures that are meant to be mega castings of the S and the X. Look, I'm not an engineer. These are big lumps of metal. They could be anything, really. If it's true, though, it would be interesting because that would mean the front and the rear end of the S and the X have been redesigned, re-engineered, compared to the cars that were on sale only a few weeks ago, the new versions that are being shipped out when the lines restart, the end of Feb for the S, end of April? May? For the X? Anyway, we've got to wait till 2022, so there'll be no X's on sale in the UK this year. An interesting stat for you. And so if they have re-engineered the S and the X, that's interesting because, once again, the cars look the same from the outside, underneath totally different. And that reminds me of the Model Y, which, again, I've mentioned a few times before, but I find it interesting. It's not good or bad. I like sharing my thoughts with you. And sometimes, you know, you tell me I'm wrong and sometimes you agree. But like the Model Y, it'll be made differently with different cells, different batteries in Fremont, Shanghai and Berlin. Like here in Europe this summer, we get a car that is totally different under the skin. Single piece rear, front and structural battery. 4680 cells. Looks the same on the outside, though, from the cars on sale all around the world. So it's interesting, isn't it? Like, you know, they'll make the car and call it the same thing and it'll look the same. But underneath, very different. So I wonder if they have made the underneath of the S and the X very different. Ah, I'll watch that story and keep an eye on it. Next, Geely, which owns Volvo, Polestar, the London Black Cab Company and more. They've got a company called Link & Co. in China, an EV company, and they've just put out a new teaser of the interior of their upcoming high-performance long-range Zero EV. Woo! This thing looks cool. This is... It's got a driver's dash in front behind the wheel. Very Ford Mustang Mach-E, like... wide and low, but very high definition. It's got that landscape, big landscape tablet screen that so many cars are coming with now. 15-inch in the middle of the car, and the center console looking very slick, very like the newly designed Tesla ones. Somewhere to plonk your phone and charge it. According to Inside EVs, the Zero EV is ready for the Chinese market towards the end of this year, sometime around quarter four. And it's based on their new architecture, so this will be underpinning lots of cars, certainly in China. 0 to 60 or 0 to 100 Ks in 4 seconds, 435 miles of range, that's 700 Ks of range. It's China, they use NEDC. That's not realistic. Maybe take that figure and, you know, multiply it by 0.6, 0.65. And so maybe it's 2/3 of that range. Either way, if the outside, if they pull it off like the inside, looks so cool. Great ambient lighting in here. And I just love they've just done lots of nice, cool design changes. Come on, Lincoln Co. Sell that car outside of China. Looks very cool. Next, small cars fascinate me because, like, we do need them. I drive a small car. The Renault Zoe is, I don't know, it's kind of Clio-sized. And Polo, so bigger than a Polo? Yeah, it's not golf-sized, but it suits us, right? Well, there are small cars all over the world. And actually, I didn't realize, I've been looking into this. Japan have a really vibrant small car market. The Japanese Prime Minister wants to decarbonize Japan, go all electric by 2030. But that's a dilemma, because the likes of Honda and Nissan and domestic Japanese car makers make a ton of these really small, compact cars. Now, there is a limit to the engine size, because it keeps the price down. And also who can drive them as well. I think you can drive them from quite young. A lot of older people drive them in rural areas. The engine limit is 660 cc's. So they are smaller cars. But by going electric, that puts the price of cars up, of course, because they are the purchase price is still higher for battery electric cars. But battery prices are falling. They went down 15% over the last couple of years in 2019 and 20, whereas the battery prices in plug-in hybrid cars only went down by 5%. So we can see a time when small cars will have pure electric drivetrains, but what we're talking about here is the kind of small cars like the SAIC GM four-seater in China. It's called the Mini EV. One of the best sellers and one of the cheapest. US dollar equivalent, $5,000. Now, these small cars in Japan are so popular, like I say, in rural areas where many of the roads themselves are only just wide enough for two of these cars to pass in opposite directions, as it were. So Japanese buyers are really in some parts of the country, really into these tiny small cars, and making them electric won't be easy until the prices of the components come down, but market forces. I love this story because it means, well, there's an incentive here for Japanese car makers, if they wanted to, which is to embrace it. If not, the Chinese car makers certainly will. And the likes of Nissan and Honda will lose out to that big, big chunk of the market in Japan. Staying with Nissan, their Note e-Power car is doing really well. The e-Power models have surpassed the targets. They set a target for 8,000 a month. It was released on the 23rd of December last year, and now they've already sold more than 20,000 of them in Japan. The new Note e-Power on sale in Japan is doing really well, says Green Car Congress. E-Power is basically a small battery, an electric motor, and an engine which works as a generator, and, you know, inverter and stuff in there as well. So the e-Power system, which Nissan call electric, and it's not, admittedly there is electricity in this car because you have a little tiny battery that's constantly being charged and discharged, and you have an electric motor that drives the wheels. The engine is not coupled in any way to the drivetrain, so, or in turning the wheels, and so they call it electric, but trust me, it's not. If somebody says, because these cars are going to be on sale in Europe as well, that they've seen it, don't let them buy one of these. Don't let them think it's an electric car. There's no plug socket on it. The only way that it moves is by filling it with petrol. As we've discussed already on this show, if you are buying a new car now and you're spending your hard-earned money on combustion, you are just sinking money into something that is disappearing very rapidly and is not going to be worth anything in the future. So, interesting that the Japanese market adore it. They can't get enough of this technology. And the experience is, it's not bad because, of course, you pull away on electric. You're driving on electric power, so it's smooth, it's quiet, etc. The engine can run in its optimal power band, and so it's more efficient, that combustion engine. But look, all these car makers want to sell you a combustion engine because that's what they know how to do. And that's where they've spent all their money on factories and engineers building combustion cars. They really badly want to sell you one, and they'll do anything they can to persuade you. The combustion engines, or the e-power, they'll call it self-charging hybrids, they don't exist, are a good thing. Hey, you and I know they're not. Finally, let's end with Norway, as if this wasn't already a podcast full of really positive EV news, we'll finish with Norway, which is always brilliant. January numbers are in. 81% plug-in share in Norway, says Dr. Max Holland for Clean Technica. About 53% were pure battery electric vehicles. The rest were plug-in hybrids. A slight swing, actually. The plug-in hybrids did okay in January. What did well? Peugeot E2008, Audi e-tron, Volvo XC40, Polestar 2, Mercedes-Benz EQC, Nissan Leaf. That's the top six. Also, VW's ID4 is coming this year as well, going to be a big seller in the likes of Norway. Only a couple of years ago, if you wanted an EV, it was a Leaf or a Tesla. Now, Tesla aren't even making the top 10 lists anymore. Now, look, that can do with when the boats arrive from Fremont and China as well, so don't take 1 month and think that Tesla has collapsed over here. But there is more choice, and Europeans are choosing the new cars on offer, which is interesting, isn't it? And that's your podcast for today. Thank you for listening. Okay, here's the endy bit. Well, there are 981 previous shows in the archive, wherever you get your podcasts from, EV News Daily or EV.News, both work. And goodness me, they're all for free, as if you could charge for this. You have our Patreons to thank for getting this podcast, and you can become one if you want. It's life-changing. It's honestly not. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, our premium partner. Brad Crosby, Avid Technology. Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at RSEV.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow for Thursday's edition. Oh, and do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.